This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. For a look at this week's grain markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, it's interesting that after a number of months of pretty much ignoring the outside markets, the grains are paying a lot of attention to them now, specifically the dollar and crude oil. And as crude oil goes up, that tends to be supportive of the broader commodity complex, including the grains. As it goes down, then it tends to pressure them. As the dollar goes up, then we see pressure on the grains. As the dollar goes down, then we see money coming into the grain and oil seeds. So, but generally trading with crude oil in inverse of the dollar. Now, those factors are being driven by several other factors, number one of that which is Greece and the possibility that Greece may end up defaulting on its debt here in a few weeks, maybe sooner, maybe later. There's mixed messages on that. They're meeting, have a critical meeting with other European leaders in Brussels to try to work out some terms of maybe a six-month extension of financing Greece for another 6 months, and that would tend to be supportive of the euro and tend to weaken the dollar if that were to occur. So that's something that's certainly playing into the markets as well. We also have the biggest oil worker strike since 1980. Influencing the energy sector. So a lot of different factors external to grain and oil seeds. Now, as we look specifically at grain and oil seed fundamentals, we're seeing an advancing harvest in South America, generally positive expectations for the size of the South American crop. Maybe we pared back Brazil's production a little bit, but what we've lost in Brazil, we've gained in Argentina. So general expectations are increasing world supplies. And, of course, all of that will be updated in USDA's crop report. The February report tends to be a very quiet type of report, not much of any significant changes. I guess that's what makes them vulnerable to surprises when they do happen. The primary focus of the report should be on South American production estimates to see if USDA makes any adjustments to the size of corn and soybean crops in Argentina and Brazil.
All right, very good. And that, of course, will have an influence, especially when America gets going on their planting and getting ready for their growing season.
Well, absolutely. Once we get past this report, of course, we do have the March crop report coming up in early March. But the primary focus is going to be, again, on planting intentions and the big USDA planting intention survey that takes place right around March 1st. And so the market's working on, even now, narrowing the gap between corn and soybeans, trying to make sure we get enough corn acres while discouraging soybean production. And that's one of the goals that it's working on right now is the year's revenue insurance guarantees are being set during the month of February. There's also some focus on next week's USDA Outlook Forum conference held every year. USDA, in fact, will be releasing ahead of that its 10-year baseline projections, looking in the next 10 years. There'll be a lot of focus on that. I think it's unfounded. Those 10-year projections have never really been creative at revealing any type of new trends or anything. USDA economists simply tend to not see very far in the future. I tend to look at the next year, and that's about it. But there'll be a lot of focus on it when the data is released on Thursday, and again, the speeches that are given at the Outlook Forum next week on Thursday and Friday.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this. Market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, gave us his insights on this week's livestock markets.
So we look at the livestock markets. Well, first of all, let's start in the pork complex. We're seeing a little bit of a bounce now in the lean hogs, but overall this is seen as nothing more than a technical bounce at this point as the February contract goes into expiration, tries to converge with the cash index. The futures had actually traded to a discount to the cash index, and so they need to come together ahead of expiration at the end of the week. Overall, this is a market that's plagued by good demand, but even bigger supplies, if I could say it that way, as the number of slaughter-ready hogs continues to increase and at weights that are above year-goal levels, the supply of pork is increasing. and the port workers slow down on the West Coast has really impacted pork export sales and shipments at this point, and so that's backing up the supplies as well. When we look at the beef sector, overall beef continues to struggle. We've seen some good bounces after seeing a reversal on the charts on Thursday, follow-through buying on Friday and Monday, a little bit of a pullback now and a little bit of consolidation. But overall, this is a market where we're starting to slow down the slaughter once again, starting to tighten up the box beef supplies once again. That should stabilize those prices, and that should start supporting additional higher cash prices for this week. Last week, traders were surprised to see a larger-than-expected volume of cattle on the negotiated market, primarily in the central and northern feedlot belt, trading for 160 to 162.5 on a live basis and up to 255 on a dress basis. And as I said, the general thinking is if we can firm up the box beef prices and maintain the movement this week, that we could actually see a little bit higher cash by the end of the week.
The hog population in the U.S. is rebounding from the PED virus more quickly than anticipated. Suderman says this would mean good news for pork producers if not for the port issues on the West Coast.
I frankly was surprised at the strength of pork exports until the port slowdown really started to affect it. The strong dollar would have been expected to have been a greater factor, but the industry is doing a great job of trying to win back some of that business we lost because of the PED virus. I think that eventually we will see that business come back. The problem is that the supply is increasing faster than the demand, and with corn prices expected to remain relatively cheap, I would anticipate that that's going to continue to be the case. The hog herd continues to expand at a rapid pace. We'll get the next update from USDA in late March, but overall the expectation is that we're going to continue to expand this hog herd perhaps a little bit faster than what we're able to get rid of it.
Although the hog population is rebounding quickly, the cattle herd is, of course, taking a bit longer to come back from its record low numbers.
It's going to take a while to rebuild the cow herd. The latest cattle inventory report that we received did show faster expansion of the cattle herd than what was expected, but still it's going to take many years to get back to where we were after the cow herd dropped to its lowest levels in more than six decades. The actual supply of slaughter-ready cattle now is probably as tight as it's been in modern-day history. Packers have been able to manage that fairly well, buying cattle and putting them back on feed to add some beef. We saw a big jump in the slaughter weights last week, showing some of those cattle that have been put on, back on feed, adding some total beef to the supply situation. So it's going to take some time. Probably best positioned, though, to grab that market share will be the pork industry.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.